beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It was God. Beginning made by Him. Him was not any. Was made. The world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. The Word was and dwelt among us. He held His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. For the law was by Moses. And truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. Also, my co-host, Mr. David Walker. Minister David Walker. God, we're here again on today, bringing you the understanding from the rich Word of God. And it's been a pleasure over these last 2 weeks that we've had to try to give understanding, try to break down the oneness of God, one of the greatest subjects in the Bible, and that is the Godhead, knowing that God Himself was back there in the beginning. And a lot of people are trying to figure out God, but thank God there's no figuring out to be done. But what we have to do as believers is just what the Word says, believe. As the Hebrew writer said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we're grateful to be able to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So it's so important what's in a name, the question being. And we know name gives you identity of a person, a word or a phrase by which a person or a thing or a class of things is known, called, or spoken of. Compound names of Jehovah is what we want to start off dealing with. As we know in the beginning, God, He was the Lord. He was the Lord God. He was a fearful being way out there. People were afraid of Him. People didn't know Him. They were terrified by Him. So we know the first, He was known unto to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But the name at a latter time was revealed in Exodus 6 and 3. He said, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So today we want to talk about the name of Jesus.
Man.
We want to talk about the name that the Bible said that is above everything. We want to talk about the name that the psalmist says that, giving reference to the Lord, says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We know His name is above every name. And we've hid His word in our hearts. In Psalm 119 and 11, the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we know the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. A lot of people say, they don't say that right. They say they find safety, they are safe. But the scripture says in Proverbs 18 and 10 that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe.
Amen. Amen.
And Proverbs 21 and 31 that says that the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
Amen.
So we thank God for that. So we want to start off, the name Jehovah was the first name of the Lord that was known after calling Him by the name of God Almighty. And that is Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22 and 14. And we know when that was, when Abraham went to offer up his only son, Isaac. And that was in Genesis 22 and 14. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, Exodus 15 and 26, the Lord heals. Jehovah Nisi, Exodus 17 and 15, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Makedesh. Exodus 31 and 13, the Lord that sanctifies. Jehovah Salom. Judges 6 and 24, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sabaoth. 1 Samuel 1 and 3, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Elohim. Psalm 7 and 17, the Lord Most High. Jehovah Rei, Psalm 23, the Lord My Shepherd. Jehovah Hasenu, Psalms 95 and 6, the Lord Our Maker. Jehovah Tesin Kanu, Jeremiah 23 and 6, the Lord Our Righteousness. And Jehovah Shammai, Ezekiel 48 and 35, the Lord Is Present. Mm-hmm. So we thank God for the little recap of the word of the Lord. There, the proverbial writer says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And he goes on to say, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So we got to get understanding who the name of the Lord is. So we know that the name of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Like I foresaid week before last and made mention on last week, you can search it out for yourself. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible.
Amen, amen. And as foretold, Elder Cannon was reading off the Jehovahistic titles. And what we have to understand is there's so many of them. And the reason being is because those titles, if you will, were given because of a certain situation that a person or the people of God were delivered from. For instance, the Jehovah Jireh that he read off, speaking of, excuse me, if you will, the sacrifice that was hidden in the bushes. God said that I will provide myself an offering. Amen. So what we want to do today, what we want to establish, and it's very important, is the fact that the God that created all things that exist does have a name. We also want you to know that as the Bible does read, there are many gods. If we can go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it reads as following, beginning at verse 4, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, yes, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things are, and in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So what we want to establish is throughout the scriptures we see many different gods. The Canaanites worship Baal. We had a god called Jupiter and Moloch, and there's many more. And my point is, all of those gods had names. So we want to establish and let you all know that the true and living God also has a name. And as foretold, that name is above all names. Amen?
Yeah.
So there is power in a name. There's identity in a name. When you ask people if they believe in God, they'll say yes. And you ask them, well, what is his name? Well, they'll maybe say that they believe in the God of the Bible. Well, which one? Because there's many. We want you to know that the mighty creator of all things does have a name.
Yes.
And what we're going to do this evening is go forth and shed some light on that name, which happens to be Jesus. Amen?
Yes. So we want you to know, you can hear it on some people's show. They say whatever you call God or he or a she, that's an insult, because it's not a she, it's a he.
Amen.
The Bible is written in masculine gender.
Yes.
So some people, when they describe, when they talk about babies, for instance, they'll say, yeah, or you want to do this to her and that to her. Well, Bible uses that terminology, too, when it's dealing with wisdom, when it's dealing with understanding. It says, hold her, she is thy life. But on the other hand, when we're dealing with God, we're dealing with God in the masculine gender. Like the Bible said in 1 Timothy, the second chapter says, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So that's not an insult. like the Bible said, who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible is not talking about a female can't be saved, but it's we're talking about human beings. It's talking about mankind, as we would say.
Amen.
Because we're a spirit, and God is a spirit. Man is a spirit, and we live in a body. We have a spirit. We have a soul. We got to give an account for the deeds that are done in our body. So that knocks down that folly, like the Pharisees was asking about this woman who had had a number of husbands, and whose wife was she going to be in the regeneration? They said neither. We're going to be as angels. And what that means is we're going to be as angels. We're going to be neither male nor female. There's going to be no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven, but he is the great love. So that knocks down that folly, too, about these people so-called killing themselves, thinking they're going to get 72 virgins. You're not going to get nothing. Hell will be your home. You can't even find your brain, let alone you think you're going to do something. If you did see somebody, you can't do nothing.
Amen.
That's foolishness. So we're spirit. We're spirit beings. We live in a body. And so we're of the earth, earthly. We're going to also bear the image of the heavenly. So this is what Jesus let Nicodemus know. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not with your eyes, but see. Oh, I see. Have understanding. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So, and that's what we want to let people know about. And so this name, Jesus, derived from the same God that was back there in the beginning. Like our scripture that we start off with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know in the beginning, God, first scripture of the Bible. That's a divine testimony, and there was only one witness there, and that was God himself.
Amen.
Just like he said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light. He is the S-O-N of the S-O-N, the S-U-N of the S-O-N. He is the sure enough son, talking about the Savior. So we know Jehovah, Jesus means Jehovah Savior, Jehovah our salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. So this is what in the mysteries, like the Bible talks about the mystery being hid in Christ. So we know the name of Jesus was revealed unto the angels, like the scriptures in Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore shall a virgin conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then we also, Isaiah 9 and 6, unto us a child is born, 33 years later a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counsel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Those things haven't came to pass yet, the government being on his shoulder. There's going to be one day, it's going to be one sitting on that throne. It's going to be President Jesus.
Amen, amen. And if I could, I just want to establish actually how powerful the name of Jesus is. You know, we have a lot of people that they say that there's power in the name of Jesus, and that is the absolute truth. But what I want to do here is I want to establish how powerful that name is, and I also want to let you all know that it's very important to understand that name now and the bearer of that name now. It's better to do it in this day than to do it at a time when you are, if you were going to be forced to be reverenced that name. If I could just use the scriptures to expound on what I'm saying. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and 23, it reads, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. This is a prophecy, and then we can pick that up again in the book of Romans 14 and 11, where it gives a little bit more light on what we're going to be bowing and swearing to. That's Romans 14 and 11, and it reads, for it is written. Now, this is referencing back to Isaiah. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So now we have a little bit more light on that prophecy, if you will. And then I like how Paul does in the book of Philippians. Again, he's given more revelation on this. Philippians 2, 9, and I actually want to read 10 and 11 also. It says, "Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus." So now we know what we're going to be bowing to and who we're going to be bowing to. It is at the name of Jesus. "Every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." So what we want to do is we want to give you revelation of that name and of the bearer of that name, so that you can confess it with joy now, so that you can go on and be with him in heaven, if you will. Because there is going to come a time where everyone, even if you don't believe it now today, you're going to have to confess. You're going to have to bow down to that name. So that again shows you how powerful that name is. And we've referenced it and ran it through, that it was God speaking in the book of Isaiah. And he said that you were going to bow down and confess to him or swear to him. And through running that prophecy through, we find out that the name of God is actually Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. I think it would be nice to add at this time, many individuals are doing works in the name of Jesus Christ. They cast out devils in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing miracles in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So if you're going to cast out devils in the name of Jesus, if you're going to do miracles in the name of Jesus, then you should be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
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 Good point.
Because Jesus said himself in Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?"
Yes.
"And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity."
Yes.
So therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, not us.
So we see here in the book of Matthew, he wrote to the Jews. So the Jews know that there is one God. They just had a problem. They knew when Jesus called himself the Son of God, he was making himself equal with God.
With God, yes.
So we could see here the church, the one who is the owner of the church. So that's why he was talking about, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock." So we got to do what Jesus said.
Amen.
Then also, since we're there, we go on. The first mention of the church, we know the church was a great congregation in the Old Testament. We can see that in the book of the Psalms, the 22nd chapter. We also see, bear witness of that in the book of Hebrews. But the first mention of the word church was when Jesus had already called his disciples. He had done numbers of things, but in Matthew 16 and 18, he said to Peter, "Thou art Simon, thou art Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So the point being, he said to Peter that upon this rock, he's talking about himself, "I will build my church." So it's Jesus' church.
Amen.
So we need to get an understanding of whose church it is. So people say they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of God. It is also the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
But Apostle Paul clearly made it plain when he wrote to the church at Rome, when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And he goes on to say, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So we got to understand who we're talking about. We're not confused here when you talk about New Testament salvation. But the name was bought over from the Old Testament.
Amen.
Jehovah is actually become salvation.
So that's why he said back in Isaiah, we can read the scriptures. You are my witness, saith the Lord. My servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe that I am he. And beside me there is no Savior. And also there is another scripture in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, which is very important, when the Lord was letting the people know that they're going to know his name. He said, my people shall know my name. So it should not be, therefore, verse 6.
Yes.
He said, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he, and that doth speak, behold, it is I. So just like someone called in last week and asked about Isaiah 53. And so who is the he? We let them know who the he is. So the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. So there's no mistake of who the Son of God is, and that his name is Jesus. And we're going to see in weeks to come about that name. So today we just want to give you a little, we're going to give you a little foretaste of the name of Jesus. And sometimes people wonder, Jesus let people know, he would let them know, you got to suffer things for my name's sake. You know, all these things you're going to do, they're going to do unto you because they don't believe him. They don't believe on the name of the one that sent me. So salvation has always been in the name of the deliverer. And the Lord done many things to try to get people's attention, just like he did back in the Old Testament. But now he's saving men's souls. That's what's important. This is not a prosperity gospel. Some of these pastors are, so they're more important than Jesus. Let them tell it. You know, yeah, you need a man of God. You need to be in the church of God. The ministry is in the church of God. But all things got to be in order. We can't lose focus of who we're serving and who's going to come back for us, and that is the Lord himself. So it's so important that we don't get it all mixed up, because none of us are nothing. When it comes to him, he should be the center of attraction. And then everybody else will just fall right in line. He is a God of order. But we got to know who his name is. That's so very important. You know, not people are, I hear folks on the radio, yeah, the creator. Yeah, he is the creator at the end of the earth. But his name is Jesus.
Amen. Amen. and if I could add on, Elder Cannon is talking about doing things in order. And as forementioned by Minister Walker, he talked about ones that will pray in the name of Jesus and cast out demons in the name of Jesus and also heal the sick. Amen, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But if I could talk about using that name and having authority or the right, if you will, to use that name.
Yes.
And if I could, in the natural sense, give you an understanding, if Brother Walker here had a credit card, let's say he had one of those black cards that has no limit on it, and
yes,
he's the only authorized user on that card.
That sounds good.
Now, if I, Minister Clifton, take your card, Brother Walker, I am not an authorized user of that car.
Right.
Now,
right,
as long as that car is active, I have the power, or you have the power, if you will, to use that car. Now, if I take it and go to the store,
yes,
I could use that car if they don't check my ID, if they don't see that I'm not an authorized user. And as long as they don't do that, that car will go through, right?
Yes.
So Elder Cannon read a scripture in Matthew, I think it was Matthew 7 and 21, where it dealt with the Lord telling those group of people to depart from me because I never knew you, you
right,
workers of iniquity. And they said unto him, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these works in your name?
Yeah.
Let me bring some understanding to that, because we have another scripture reference to that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 19, verse number 13. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists,
mm-hmm,
took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the name Jesus, which Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?
Yes.
See, that evil spirit knew that those exorcists did not have the right or the authority,
yes,
to use that name.
Yes.
See, we have some that do know the name of Jesus, and they know that it has power. But because they have not come into the body of Christ the correct way,
yes,
by using the name, they are not authorized users of that name.
Really
good. 2 Timothy 3 and 5 speaks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That power that they are denying is the power of the name of Jesus to wash away your sins. Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks, I do believe it's Acts chapter 4 and 12, where it speaks of there's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved. What is that name, brother?
That name, Jesus.
That name is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. So you got to do it the right way. So the Bible is not just an ordinary book, but it's life, it's love, it's judgment. There's so many things in the book called the Bible. And there are many, you know, biblion, which means book. This book has a lot in it. So too many people are picking up the book and reading other people's mail. You got to go and read in the Gospels about Jesus. And then as we're going to be in the book of Acts pretty soon here, the Acts of the Apostles, the ones that Jesus chose, is where you'll find salvation at, in the book of Acts. That's what people have to do, is get into the book and you'll find out what you need to do. You can't just read somebody else's mail and pick up a scripture and say, just confess him. It doesn't work like that. That's what too many people are doing. They don't have any understanding. You know, okay, I'm saved. I just believe. I receive what I believe. No, you believe, you're going to get paid. You go to work so you can get paid.
Amen.
You don't just stay at home saying you believe. It doesn't go like that. So it's the same way with the Word of God. We can't just play God cheap. So God gave instructions for men what they ought to do. So it is all in the name of Jesus. So we know, we read here about the name of Jesus, about the name deriving from the name Jehovah, and that in the book of Isaiah, about his people are going to know that his name, behold, it is I. Then also we see in Zechariah 14 and 9 is also letting us know about his name and how people are going to know that his name is one. So when we get into the New Testament, we see things that are happened to the disciples. He let them know they're going to be persecuted for his name's sake. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, the early church is also persecuted for the name of Jesus. In Acts 5 and 28, 9 and 21, 15 and 26, they counted it a privilege to. And then we know in Acts 4 and 12, like the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
So God has a prescribed way for us to be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. Like I forestated, a lot of people are saying that they believe in God. But the question is, who is your God?
Amen. Yeah.
Do you have the right God? Because the Lord is the God of the church, and he's the one that's going to come back. He's going to present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So we want to be in the right church, you know, and that is baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost. So just like the scripture was read earlier in Philippians 2 and 9, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth.
Yes.
And things under the earth.
Yes.
And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we can see right there, the Godhead only has one person in it. And people get confused. So when you read in the book of Corinthians, Apostle Paul says that you see your calling. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. And about how God has took the base things of the world and the weak things to confound the wise, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. But he was saying here that I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he lets us know here, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was. So Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. So how do you know that? You got to get into Scripture and find that out. So nope, God's not giving nobody else his glory because it's him. So we got to know what way is he speaking, what Scripture that he's using. So at the world by wisdom, they knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. So people don't understand. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So Apostle Paul says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So Apostle Paul was an exception. He was a wise man. So that's what God does. He takes people. So the Bible didn't say that you couldn't be saved. He said, how hardly shall a rich man be saved? But you got to humble yourself.
Amen.
In this way. So the way up is down. We got to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt us in due time. So we got to understand the name of the Lord, just like we made mention about the name of the Lord. So God does have a name. So in the New Testament church, he doesn't have all of those compound names, but it's all summed up in the name of Jesus. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him.
Amen.
So it's in the name of Jesus. It's no insult.
Amen. As Isaiah 29:13 reads, and I'll read that in your hearing also, it says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me,
yes,
but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by precept of men. Now there's a couple of ways that we can deal with this, and one is you all have a lot of people that profess Christianity, and they do these things by their mouth or by their words.
Yes.
But if you look at their works, you will see where their hearts are.
Yes.
And
yes,
some of these people sincerely want to serve the Lord.
Yes.
We want to do is we want to enlighten you. But what we have to do is we have to get you out of, as Isaiah said, the teachings or the precepts of men.
Yeah, men.
The commandments of men.
Yeah.
Because men will teach you certain things about God that is contrary to the word.
Yes.
Anytime, even as you listen to our broadcast week in and week out, go back and listen to those broadcasts, the scriptures that we call out. Be like the Bereans and search these things out to see if we are telling you the truth. What we want to do here is set by our name truth. We want to give you truth, and today we want to give you the truth about the name of Jesus. We want to give you the truth about the name of God. As I said before, you can't seriously say that you're going to give up all the sins and all the pleasures of the world to serve a God in whom you don't even know his name, or you don't understand quite who he is.
Yes.
There is a teaching out there that says that, you can't quite explain who God is. You just have to believe it.
Yes.
That is a lie.
Yes.
God does not want his people to be ignorant of whom he is.
Yes.
So as we're teaching on Jesus today, and as foretold, Elder Cannon says that name Jesus can be traced back to the Old Testament. A term which many may not be familiar with, the Tetragrammaton, can be found in Exodus 3:15, I do believe it is, where Moses was having a conversation with God, and God was going to send Moses back to deliver the people. And Moses said, well, when I go back, who should I say sent me?
Yes.
He said, I am.
Yes.
Have sent you.
Yes.
I am that I am.
Yes.
God said that.
Yes.
So if we are indeed going to say that Jesus is that God that said that, surely the scriptures have to have some record of Jesus declaring that he is the I am.
Yes.
And in the Gospel of St. John, we see that several times. And I like the I ams of God.
Yeah.
It tells of his power. It tells that he is the self-existing one. It says about God that he can become whatever he wants to become and never cease from being the God that he is.
Yeah.
That is how he was able to become and fulfill many of those Jehovah-nistic titles, but never cease from being the one that sits on the throne. And Jesus Christ uttered those things, and I'll just give a couple of those in the Gospel of St. John, where he declared that I am. And John 4:26, he said that he was declaring himself to be the Christ or the Messiah. In John 6:35, he declared himself to be the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. In John 6 and 41, he declared that I am the bread from heaven, speaking of that heaven that fell while the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And John 8 and 12, he declares that I am the light of the world. He also declared that I am the Father. Yes, Jesus is the Father, John 8 and 28. Another one that threw those men off is John 8, 58. He says, I am before Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how could this man that was born in these times say that he was before Abraham?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only God could say that, because only God was before Abraham. God was before all of us.
Yeah.
But again, we have to understand when Jesus is speaking as merely man, and when he is speaking as God. And that's the good thing about carrying that title, I am. He can become a man, as he did, but he never, ever ceased from being God.
Right.
He also uttered that I am the door. I am the good shepherd.
Yeah.
At the grave of Lazarus, he uttered that I am the resurrection. He told his disciples, I am the master and Lord. He also said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And there's many more I ams that Jesus uttered, but he was saying what he was by his name. That is another reason that he had to raise from the grave, because he had to live up to his name. See, names were given to Hebrews for a reason. It's not like we do in this day where we may take, part of my first name and part of my wife's first name and mix them together and come up with a name, or, we name them after a movie star. There was meaning to names, and God's name does have a meaning. It has many different meanings, as Elder Cannon foretold.
Yeah.
All those Jehovah Nissi titles are tied up in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
The I am that I am is tied up in the name of Jesus. He had to raise from the dead because he had to continue to be what he was, and that is God. If he stayed there in the grave, that would have been proof that he was merely a man. But he took up his own life because he had to live up to his name, Jesus, amen?
Yes, in Revelation 1 and 18, I believe it is, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death.
Yes.
So we know that he is the master, amen. He is the resurrection and the life. But I want to jump back here in John 2 and 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up.
Yes.
He was talking about his death. They said, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So just like Jesus said in the 7th chapter when he stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, St. John 11, 7 and 37, I believe, said, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I mean, never. And he went on to say, they said, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, but the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I mean, they went on to say, never man spake like this man. And they never did. And so here in the 3rd chapter of St. John, we know he's talking that Nicodemus came to him by night, and he was telling him about being born again. Couldn't see the kingdom of God. Couldn't enter into the kingdom of God, except you be born again. So he asked Nicodemus a question in the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of St. John. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? That's a big question. Anyway, I told you earthly things, you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And here's he threw a dart. He sunk him with this one. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And he was standing on earth when he said that. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we have to, we can see right here who he was. Nobody could speak like he did, but the master himself. And just like he said to the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of St. John, he told her, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. So we can see, now that was his omniscience. You know, his omniscience. He's all knowing. Just like the prophecy, what he said to Philip, he was saying, you shall see the Son of Man ascend and descend. The angels of God ascend and descend. You know, he said, before you was under that tree, I saw you.
Yeah.
So we got to understand who he is and when he's talking. So, and then also here in the book of John, in the 14th chapter, he said to them, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. There was another scripture. He said to them, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive. So they didn't have to ask anything in his name at that particular time because he was present with them.
Yes.
But there's going to come a day when he was going to be taken out of the way, taken from them. Then they were going to see what the Holy Ghost was. Just like he said to them, when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Comforter was coming in the name of Jesus. So here we see, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And he went on to let them know, I would not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So we can see, when you look at all the prophecies that were fulfilled about Jesus, the scripture in Genesis 3 and 15, seed of the woman will bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we know that that was talking about the Lord himself. Deuteronomy 18 chapter, the prophecy of the Lord our God shall raise up unto thee like unto Moses, him shall ye hear. That was another prophecy of Jesus. So the plan was for the Son of Man, he kept letting them know that he was coming, and he was coming to give his life a ransom for many. So the plan was that he was a good shepherd and how he was going to give his life. He plainly told them in St. John, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, the porter, he don't care for the sheep. He see the wolf coming, he flees. You know, and he let them know he was the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He was the light. So if the devil had really knew what the plan of God was, they would have never, like somebody said, assassinated Jesus. Because you played right into the plan.
let me add this, brother. A scripture that has been previously mentioned in Isaiah 52, verse number 6. Therefore, my people shall know my name.
Yes.
Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak.
Yes.
Behold, it is I.
Yes.
That's what we read in Isaiah 52, verse number 6.
Yes.
I am he. But
yes.
It says, I am he.
Yes.
Then he says in St. John, chapter number 8, starting in verse number 24, he says, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he.
Yes.
Is that right, brothers?
Same he.
Ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is God.
Yes.
Then said they unto him, who are thy? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning.
Yes.
Is that right, brothers?
Yes.
26 says, I have many things to see and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true,
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he.
Yes.
And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, brothers listening, and sisters listening.
Yes.
There is one God.
Yes.
And Jesus is his name.
Yes.
I am he. What's he saying? He's saying, I am God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And if you don't believe that, but the only ones that will believe that, though, going back to Isaiah 52, is therefore my people.
Yes.
We better get in Christ.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
And there is a way, as Elder Walker said, to get in Christ.
To get in Christ.
And I guess we cannot talk about the name of Jesus without dealing with Matthew 28:19. Is that right?
Yes.
And the reason being is understanding the power of the name as foretold in Acts 4:12, that there is no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
It is by that name.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 28:19 deals with baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And it deals with baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What we must understand, brothers and sisters, is what that name is.
Yeah.
There is no argument that the name of the Son is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That is professed throughout the New Testament.
Yes.
of the Holy Bible, if you will. Amen. What we have to understand is, or know is there a name attached to the Father, and is there a name attached to the Holy Spirit? By right of vision and by understanding the Scriptures, we can find that. And I'll just give you two. I'll just be brief here. The Gospel of St. John 14:26,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost, we're going to find out, has a name. Amen?
Right.
If I can read it to you, because I don't want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to listen to what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
John 14:26 reads, amen, as follows.
Yeah.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm.
whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus speaking.
That's Jesus speaking.
He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So that Comforter, that Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost which we receive with the evidence of speaking in tongues, has a name.
Yeah.
Amen. That name is Jesus.
That name is Jesus.
Amen. The Father does have a name. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we know according to Malachi 2:10, also Ephesians 4:6, that we only have one Father.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah.
But what is the name of the Father? Well, Jesus uttered in John 5:43 that he came
in his Father's name. Yeah,
so
right.
If he came in his Father's name or bearing his Father's name, what does that name have to be?
Yeah.
It has to be Jesus.
It has to be Jesus.
So what we're giving you understanding of is if you are going to obey Matthew 28:19, which we want you to obey, you have to do it with understanding.
Yeah.
That baptism formula with those specific words, you cannot find any evidence of anyone doing that anywhere in the Scriptures. But baptisms were performed throughout the book of Acts, the history of the Acts of the Apostles.
Yes.
They did indeed baptize as they were commanded.
Yes.
But they used that name which is above every name.
Yes.
They used that name which has power to remove your sins.
Yes.
They use that name, amen, that we cast out demons in. They use that name that we heal the sick in.
Yes.
They use that name that you even bless your food with when you eat.
Yes.
And that, amen, is the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Understanding the name of Jesus is where your salvation is going to come into. We are baptized into his name. And then we, in turn, receive him into us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we have to understand, and that's what we're doing, the power and the meaning of that name, Jesus. Amen?
Yes. Yes, so that's what it's all about, the revelation of the name. So even when we get to the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So even Apostle Paul, when he starts off his letters, many times he makes mention about the Lord, about God, the God of our Father, and the mystery of that's been kept secret since before the world was.
Yes.
And also in the book of Romans.
Yes.
So we get understanding of what he's talking about.
Yes.
He's not talking about no two guys,
because
Apostle Paul himself thought that he was doing God's service when he was persecuting the people of God, the church of God, and wasting them.
Yes.
But God got his attention on the road to Damascus. We're going to get in that in weeks to come. And he said, "Who art thou, Jehovah?" And Jehovah said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." So, to give a little example of what I'm talking about, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not three different persons. That's saying who he is. God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's the same one.
Yes.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yes.
According as he has chosen us in him, in Jesus, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without him, without blame before him in love. So this is what we have to realize. And so in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. So that grace and the gift of God, that's all in Jesus. It's the same thing. So this letter was written to people who are already saved.
Yes.
That's what people get in trouble in. When he says, for this cause I, Paul, by the prisoner of the Lord of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's not talking about two or three different gods. He's talking about the same one, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise of his promise in Christ by the gospel.
Yes.
So this is how we're going to get in the church, is through the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And that's why he came. And so most people, you tell them, you're the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, do you believe that? So you got to be buried in water in the name of the one who died for you.
Amen.
That's why he said in Mark 16 and 15, when he said, and he said unto them, go into all the world, Mark 16 and 15, 15, 16 and 15, yeah. 16, 15. Yeah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to believe the gospel. And so we know Apostle Paul said that. In the Corinthian letter to the church, the second letter, he says that he's the savior of one, of life unto life, to another, death unto death. So it's up to us, it behooves us to believe the gospel.
Amen.
Because that's why he came. Nobody else, no other man came to lay down his life.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, some of these other so-called folks that are call themselves saviors or call themselves full of wisdom, whenever they started off, they ain't come to die for nobody. They came to deceive people is what they done. They're a messenger of somebody said a messenger of hell. But God's messenger preached the word of the Lord.
Yes.
And God gives them this fish, like Jesus said, that he whom God sent speaketh the word of God without measure. So we know that we're serving the faithful and the true witness, as it's in the book of the Revelation. 1 and 5, he was the prophet and the apostle. We know our time is about gone. And he was the first begotten of the dead. He was the prince and kings of the earth. He was the Alpha and Omega. Now, if he was the beginning and the ending, I'd like to know who was before him. Even the Lord said, I don't know of nobody before me. There's none beside me. I know not of any, and he knows all things. He was the one which is to come. He is the Almighty, is the Son of Man, the first and the last. He that liveth and was dead and is alive forevermore. He is the possessor of the seven spirits. The seven spirits really means, to simply put it, That is God in all his glory. Simple way to put it. The one on the throne, there is only one. He's a lion. He's a lamb right now that's carrying folks, but he's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Coming back. He is the root of David. He is the lamb. He's the redeemer. He's the faithful. He's the true. He's the word of God in the 19th chapter of Revelation. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, the offspring of David. He's the bright and the morning star. And then one scripture I would like to use, I don't want to forget about before we, because we know we're going to have to come back. We cannot exhaust this subject. We could not tell you everything there is to know about the Godhead. It is so bad. But the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter and the 20th verse, it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Not we, not us, but I come quickly.
Amen.
Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says right here in verse 12 in Revelation 22, "And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." So he is the I am.
And let me add this, because I was in Revelation as well, Revelation 19 and verse number 11.
Mm-hmm.
"And I saw heaven open,
yes,
and behold a white horse, and he, not them, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war.
Uh-huh.
His eyes were as flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed." Amen, brothers.
His
one God.
His name is called
the Word of God. The Word of God.
Yes. Amen. So we know our time is almost gone.
Yes.
So we got to realize who he is. So the Lord, and here's folly. People call themselves got saved, and their name is Oogie Ulububu, whatever, some off-the-wall stuff. God's not coming. My name is Michael Cannon Jesus.
Yes.
That's the name I got. So the name at that day when the Lord's going to give us a name that nobody knows but he himself. So that's what we're waiting on. We're not waiting on some off-the-wall stuff for the Lord to give us a name that we identify, tie a rag on our head and call ourselves whoever.
Yeah.
My name is my earthly name. It don't matter what people call me. So we hope you all have getting some understanding, excuse me, of this vast subject that we've been dealing with. And we're going to be coming back and try to give you more understanding on this subject at a later time. But we want to try to move to a new subject on next week. And also, I want to make mention quickly, everyone doesn't like to call in. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net.
Like you just so as we know, the Bible says, and without controversy,